3. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to read two verses, 19 and 20. Romans chapter 3, 19 and 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be in your word, to read it, to believe it, and to have it affect our being, our inner man, that we could walk pleasing in your sight. Amen. Okay, so I have a question for you. A question. And that is, are you saved?
Yes.
Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you saved? So, well, I was kind of expecting somebody to say, saved from what? Because John really pounds that into us, right? When you hear saved, you say, saved from what? Right? But that's okay. Your answer, yes, it's a good answer. If anyone answered no, I'd like to speak with you after the meeting. When I say we're saved, I didn't give you the context, but by default, it's what? It's saved from hell. The lake of fire. Eternal damnation. Right? Well, why do we need to be saved? We need to be saved because of sin. Because of sin. Right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And not just physical death, but eternal separation from God. Right? If you're not saved, then you won't be in God's kingdom. There's only one other place for you, and that's hell. Right? Hell is a real place. It's a place that you're not going to go to because you answered yes. Right? And you're here this morning. Right? But man has a problem, and man has a problem with sin. The good news is, and there is good news, is even though that sin has that penalty of hell, someone paid the debt, right? We sang the song. He paid the debt and set us free. Let me do this. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Somebody read it for me, please.
He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Yes. He, God, made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Our problem was sin. I know about sin. But Christ, you know sin. Okay? Turn to 1 Peter. I'll have you do this for me. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. We'll see what Peter has to say about Christ and sin. Somebody please read that verse for me.
Who did no sin,
neither was guile found in his mouth.
Referring to Christ, Peter says he did no sin. So Paul says that Christ knew no sin. Peter said Christ did no sin. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. 1 John 3:5. We'll see what John has to say. 1 John 3, chapter 3, verse 5.
And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin.
In him is no sin. Right? So Paul, Peter, and John agree. No problem with sin in Christ. Right? I think it's Deuteronomy says, what does Deuteronomy say? By the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a matter be established. Right? Two or three here. We've got two or three here. We just established this matter. No problem with sin with Christ. He was the sinless Son of God. We knew all about sin. He didn't. Yet he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. That's the good news. That's really good, good news. Let me put something else up here on the board. Don't you like that? Two or three witnesses. Okay. So, when we talk about being saved, I asked you if you're saved. We can say we are saved from the penalty of sin. Hell, the lake of fire, eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. We've been saved from that. That is the penalty of sin. Right? The judge had put down the gavel and declared the sentence to anyone with sin, right, that it is eternal separation from God. But we've been saved from the penalty of sin. And what does the Bible call that? Rich mentioned it this morning.
Justification.
It's justification. Because he became sin, right, we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. In Christ. God now declares us righteous. You know, when I first learned that, I had a problem with saying I'm righteous. I had a big problem with that. I had to learn and study it's Christ's righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. Right. When I learned that, I could say, I'm a righteous man in Christ. Right. You have to keep on saying, in Christ. But that's what we call justification. Being declared righteous by God. And we're saved from the penalty of sin. Okay. But we still have sin. Where does sin reside?
In the flesh.
In the flesh. And it still likes to exert power over us, over the things that we think, over the things that we do, right? So, Not only do we need to be saved from the penalty of sin, we also need to be saved from the power of sin. Let's just take a quick look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And look at verse 14. 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay. Drop down to 17. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. Right? With the heart man believes. To obey from the heart is to believe. But ye have believed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. When did Paul, at this point when he wrote the book of Romans, he hadn't visited Rome. So how did he deliver that form of doctrine, that revelation of the mystery that he had received, how was it delivered to the Romans? Right. Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. That's the form of doctrine that he's talking about here. Verse 18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. So, we can be saved from not only the penalty of sin, but the power of sin as well. And what do we call that? We call that sanctification, that's right. One of my favorite hymns goes like this. Why should I worry, doubt, or fear? Hath God not caused His Son to bear my sins upon the tree? The debt that Christ for me has paid, would God another mind have made to claim again from me? No. So now I have full peace and rest. My Savior Christ has done the best and set me wholly free. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I've been saved from the power of sin. There's another hymn, right, that we used to sing. It's not in our hymnal, but it's called Full Salvation. I'm going to read a verse from that hymn. Love's resistless current sweeping all the regions deep within, thought and wish and senses keeping now and every instant clean. Full salvation from the guilt and power of sin. Okay. Once we were declared righteous, then we could receive eternal life. We've got so many things that we received when we first got saved. We spend a lifetime learning about what we actually got at that moment that we received. Right. But we mentioned, where does sin reside? It resides in the flesh. Okay. Well, let's take a look at that the next chapter in Romans, in chapter 7, 7:18. It says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, no good thing dwelleth, For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Right? We have sin in the flesh still, even though we are justified, sanctified. Right? We need to be saved. We need to be saved from the presence. Presence. Saved from the presence of sin. When will that happen?
Future.
Huh?
That's future.
That is future. We call that. That's right. Glorification. Justification. Sanctification. Glorification. Glorification happens when we get a new body. Right? A body that doesn't have sin. A glorified body. A celestial body. Right. Let's take a quick look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Well, you can't read 21 without reading 20. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body. A change is a coming, right? That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Right? That change is us receiving a glorified body. The next book is Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going from Philippians 3 to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Ah. We'll appear with Him in glory, with glorified bodies. Bodies that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I need one more verse for this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. When He, Christ, shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That day is coming. And He will be glorified in His saints. Right? And I'm going to come up to Tom, and I'm going to say to Tom, I really admire how you glorify Christ. Right? And hopefully you'll say the same thing to me. We will be admiring in each other Christ. Right. This is the manifest. You know, all creation's waiting for that, right? It's waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God, the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Who are these people? You go to the grocery store, there's lots of people there. Which one? is which one has Christ in it? You don't know right now. But the day is coming when it will be obvious, because we will have glorified bodies glorifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? Do you look forward to that? Right? Whoa, I look forward to that. I am looking forward to that. By the way, I like to refer to this justification, sanctification, glorification as full salvation, just like the song. Full salvation. Right? Our salvation is as full and complete and thorough as the Savior that provides it to us. That's wonderful. Right? It's wonderful. But I have some more questions for you. How long after you believe were you justified?
Immediately.
Immediately. Right away. It happened instantly. I like Ephesians 1, how it shows a kind of order. Look to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. You read 13 and 14. Right? Listen to the order here, the sequence. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Okay, in 13 it has the word after twice. So this is the order that it comes in, right? You hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, right? This is, Rich shared this morning, there's more than one gospel, right? This one is the gospel of your salvation, not of Israel's salvation. They have a different gospel. Right, they have a gospel, the kingdom. Their salvation is wrapped up in a kingdom, earthly kingdom, visible, physical kingdom on this earth. Also receiving eternal life, right, to live in that kingdom. Our salvation comes from believing the gospel of the grace of God. Right. Christ died for your sins, for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. After you heard that, what does it say? You believed. Then all kinds of things happened. Right? One of which was you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Right? But you were also declared to be righteous. You have the forgiveness of sins, right? And you became an heir, right? All kinds of things happened, right? But it happened, how quickly did it happen? You hear, you believe, bang. You were justified. You were declared righteous. Not because of anything you did, but because of what you couldn't do and Christ did for you on the cross. Yes.
It's interesting in Acts 2:38 when Peter's preaching, he says, "Repent and be baptized, then receive the Holy Spirit." The comparison, the contrast between just believing and immediately being sealed versus being baptized and then receiving the Holy Spirit.
That's correct, right? There is a baptism that we receive, right? That's the baptism that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. Right. But it's another thing that I didn't have any I didn't have any idea of what was going on when I got saved, except I was forgiven. Forgiven my sins. Right? And now, some 40 years later, I'm still learning what happened when I got saved. It's wonderful. So, justification happened initially right when we believed. Right? Not after we were water baptized, right? Did something else happen? We don't need water baptism at all. Right? That's not for our program. That's not for the body of Christ. It's for Israel. Right. I'm going to jump over sanctification and ask you about glorification. Henry said that's future. So when the time comes, and we hear a shout, right? We hear the trump of God, right? And Christ comes. How long will it take for that change, for that new body to happen?
Instantly.
Once again, instantly. Happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago, John was up here and he wanted to show how, yeah, you still remember, right? How quickly it happens, and he, bam, he slammed his hand on that. Right? I was sitting right behind Katie. She jumped up. She jumped off her seat. I thought she was being raptured, but she came back down. She wasn't there. She was just scared. That's all. Bang. Well, I have an example, but it's not as loud. Right? It's very scriptural. It's according to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to show you the twinkle of my eye. Okay? It's my left eye, so watch carefully. There. Did you see it? Did you see it?
Very quick.
It's very quick. If my wife were here, she would tell you that, yes, truly, my eyes do twinkle. Right. Hers do too. Next month's not only John's birthday, it's our 49th anniversary.
Wow.
And our eyes still twinkle. Right. Okay. She's listening. She wasn't well enough to come, but she's listening, so I had to put in a plug. I was in the doghouse earlier this week. But that's not why I say that. Okay. So my point being is justification happens instantly, immediately, if not sooner, right, when you believe. Right? When the time comes, glorification, the glorification of our bodies, our new bodies, we will get right away, instantly. Okay. So now we come to sanctification. Let me ask you, how long does it take to get sanctified? Right? Well, sanctification actually happens in three phases. Right? We are sanctified. We're being sanctified. And we will be sanctified thoroughly, totally, completely. Sanctified, separated from this earth to serve and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what sanctification is. It's to be separated unto God for the service and worship of God. Even in the Old Testament, they had utensils, so the pots and pans were sanctified. Right? They were made holy. They were sprinkled with the blood because they were in the tabernacle used for the service of God. Right. Look with me at 1 Corinthians. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 reads like this. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, Paul is saying that the saints, the believers in Corinth, are sanctified. In fact, they're called saints. That's just a sanctified one, a holy one. That's what it is to be a saint. Right? Did the Corinthians have any problems? Right? When you read the book of Corinthians, it's all about, pretty much, their problems. Right? They had lots of problems. Yet, they were called sanctified. Stay in 1 Corinthians, read chapter 6 and verse 11. Right, Ken? 1 Corinthians 6, 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, it's clear that we're sanctified, yet there are other verses that make it sound as if we're not, and that God wants us to be sanctified. Like in 1 Thessalonians, please go to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to read 7 verses. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So, reading those verses, you get the impression that we need to be sanctified. It's God's will for us to be sanctified. Okay? Now, how can that be? How can we be sanctified and yet need to be sanctified? How can those two things
be?
Mm-hmm. Day by day it happens. That's how it happens. What's that?
From glory to glory,
that happens.
Like you're standing, you're saving, you're talking.
How about that? How about our standing in Christ? We are sanctified. Right? It's a done deal. It's permanent. In Christ, our position, our standing in Christ is such that we are sanctified. Yet, there's the matter of our state, as Rich said, our practice, right? Tom said day to day, our daily living. There is a practical need for sanctification in our daily lives. Right? Even in this chapter, it said, how to walk. How you ought to walk. Right, and please God. Right. Anyway, I think it's just wonderful that we could have a walk that pleases God. And we should all want that. He wants that. God wants that. And does Paul talk much about sanctification in his epistles? Right? He does. And even if the word sanctify or sanctification isn't used, he uses the word walk. Right? let's see, I wrote it down how many times, right? 30 times. In 13 epistles, he uses the word walk in such a way as referring to how we daily live, how we behave, how we talk, how we think. Right? You know, in chapter 8 of Romans, he says, walk in the Spirit. Right? Our walk, right? What is it to walk? It's to, we can kind of go forward, and we go, one, two, that's, right? One, two, right? We walk. We make progress in our daily lives as Christians. We are making progress. It may not feel like it, right? But you're here today because you're making progress.
Yeah.
Right? You read the Bible, the Word of God, right? You study it rightly divided. You're making progress. Right? You show yourself, right? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Right? Let's see. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter, you know, in Thessalonians, he said that ye have received of us. You've received how you ought to walk and please God. Paul was giving them instructions on how to walk. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see a pattern that's repeated in other places in Paul's epistles, but it's very clear in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, the pattern is going to be in down in chapter 4. It's in verses 22, 23, and 24. But I'm going to start before that because he gives a contrast in the way which we don't, he doesn't want us to walk. Right? It was in Thessalonians, he said, not in the lust of concupiscence.
Yes.
Right? Even as the Gentiles, which know not God. I just have to tell you this word concupiscence. I was having lunch with a good friend sometime ago. He's now with the Lord, but it wasn't a couple of years ago. And we were reading some verses and we came across the word concupiscence. And he said, that's why I don't like the King James Bible. And I said, why? He said, because of words like concupiscence. I said, do you know what it means? He says, yes, I looked it up in the dictionary. I said, so did I. Now we both know what it means. Right? Is that such a hard thing? Is that such a high price to pay to understand God's Word? And the answer is, no, it's not. In fact, when I use the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and it has the Old English in it, and invariably, I will look up a word, and in the definition is a word I don't know. I have to look up that word, too. Right? You know what I'm doing? I'm expanding my vocabulary, right? Isn't that a good thing? I mean, if you get on, I don't, but if you get on Twitter or any of the social media, their vocabulary has just goes. I know, just know, I don't go there, but I know it's down. Nobody wants to be a workman. Yeah. Nobody wants to go through the process of learning something, right? I was with concupiscence, but so as he says, as the Gentiles. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. There's another word, right? You can look up. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Here comes the contrast, right? But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that ye, what is the truth in Jesus? That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 24. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay. Here's the pattern. Put off. Put off what? The old man. The old manner of living, thinking, behaving. Put off. Renew. Be renewed in what? In the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. I'll just put renew. Renewed. And then put on. Put on the new man. This is the pattern for practical sanctification. Go back to verse 17. He says, "This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord that ye walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Where does it start? It starts in our mind. It starts in the mind. What is vanity? Empty of anything of value. It's worthless. In fact, before I got saved, my mind was full, but it was full of the lie program. Right? It was the next verse says, having the understanding darkened. Darkened. The understanding in your mind being darkened. That's how the Gentiles walk. God doesn't want us to walk that way. Well, how is darkness dispelled? How do you get rid of darkness?
Light.
Light. I remember that Patty and I used to serve with the... We used to be younger. We used to have lots of energy, and we had three little boys. And we used to serve with the children's meeting. And one Sunday, what we did is we got for each of the children a flashlight. Right, and we were in a room that didn't have any windows, so when we turned off the lights, it was dark. And we told the kids, "Don't turn on the flashlight yet. You know, we're going to turn off the lights." So we turned off the lights, and all the little girls squealed, and all the little boys were bumping into each other, you know, doing what little boys do. And we started to quote. Actually, we made it a song. We quoted Psalm 19, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? And they would have to shine the flashlight down. And they would follow the path. We had a path for them to follow, and they'd follow the path with the... Okay, that's just... You know what? I remember that very clearly. And I trust that the Word of God in those little kids is still there today. I trust the Word of God. They're adults now, right? I trust that the light and the Word is in them, right? And that's how we walk. We walk in the light, right? Taking the Word of God, which is light, What is that other verse that we also used? It's 119, 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Right? This not only takes the darkness out, it puts off, it renews your mind, and you begin to think. It says you have your conversation. Right? Your conversation is your manner of living. It's how you behave, how you think. We begin to think like God. Right? Sometimes we say, we have the mind of Christ. Right? Talking about the Word of God. But I want it to get inside of me. I want sound doctrine. The Word rightly divided to get inside of me so that I can walk and live in a way that's pleasing to God.
There's no shortcut to that.
There's no shortcut. That's kind of why I say this happens instantly. This happens instantly. This takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. I'll just leave you with one more verse. It's in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive Him? Well, by grace through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, right? But it is by grace through faith. That's a step. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. That's how we walk. That's how you got saved. That's how you received Him. That's how you were justified. That's how you will be glorified. And how we are day to day sanctified. Yeah, we're not sanctified by our own efforts or our own strength. That's not how you got saved. That's not how you were justified. That's not how you will be sanctified. You're sanctified the same way you got justified. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. Okay. That's all I have. Thank you, Father, for this time. We pray that this word, the words that were spoken, the words in your Bible will penetrate and cause us, Lord, even to walk in such a way that is pleasing to you.